Good morning. It's good to see you all. It's nice to see that you survived the 1 hour time change. As your reward, I will give you a good perspective to think of this 1 hour of loss. Think of it as losing an hour of the cold, wet, rainy seasons that we've had for a month or so. So you see, you really benefited from the loss of this time. My message today is entitled, In Defense of Making Your Own Religion. At the heart of most religions is a commonality rooted in love, empathy, grace, and equality. It may be actually summed up best by the Golden Rule. So let me share with you a few versions of the Golden Rule from various religions. In Luke, in Christianity, it says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Buddhism says, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. The Baha'i faith says, lay not any soul on any soul a load that you would not wish to be laid on you, and desire not for anyone the things you would not desire for yourself. Islam says, not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself. Judaism, which you've heard quoted by Jesus before as well, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's in Leviticus, actually. Hinduism, one should always treat others as they themselves wish to be treated. And two more. Zoroastrianism says, whatever is disagreeable to yourself, do not do unto others. And finally, Confucianism says, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Clearly, the Golden Rule is a central theme of most of the world's religions. It's a spiritual thread that I believe can help us recognize the value in religions other than the one that we practice ourselves. Now, the word religion actually comes from a Latin word that means to tie or to bind together. I believe that the Golden Rule should help us see that there are very good reasons to not practice an exclusionary religion, but instead, we should look for the ties that bind religions together and adapt it to our own religious beliefs. Adapt those things that are good and nurturing and encouraging for us from any of them. Now, for some people, this sounds a bit like blasphemy. After all, if you've been taught that your religion is the one true religion, the thought of incorporating other, presumably untrue, religions into your belief can feel a bit like betraying your own spiritual heritage. Here's the thing, though. All of us, every one of us, already create our own religion. Let me explain. While most believers will express a particular devotion to a particular holy text or teacher, the reality is that most don't actually fully observe the precepts of their religion. Many folks believe themselves to be ardent followers of their tradition, but the reality is, to some degree, we all ultimately practice some level of selective reading of our sacred texts. Basically, adopting what suits us and overlooking the things that don't. It's just a matter of taking your sacred text, looking for passages that support your values, and then adapting those that best fit your own perspective. And usually folks will then make their particular text out to be the most important ones in terms of the larger perspective of their religion, making it all the more easy to overlook the passages that contradict their personal values and desired perspectives. Now, considering how prevalent this is in most religions, You think folks would simply recognize it and feel completely justified in choosing the text by which they wish to live their lives. Well, unfortunately, rather than doing that, most folks decide to claim that their religion, and particularly their own personal take on their religion, is the only correct one. For them, when other people with their religion choose to emphasize core values that differ from theirs, they simply decide to label them heretics. Now, it doesn't take long before it becomes the water in which they swim. They frequently become very good at fooling themselves, believing that their own proclamation of the ultimacy of their particular brand of religion, they believe it so deeply that they are fully unable to see that it is not much more than a choice that they are making, much like others in their spiritual community. It begs the question of why do they do this? Those who study this phenomenon have suggested that it's because it would be so scary to take responsibility for choosing which values among so many to live by. It's much more reassuring to go on just pretending that one's values are the only true eternal ones that enjoy God's giant stamp of approval. And at the same time, those who study this particular phenomenon would add that there are also those who, on the other hand, don't pretend at all, not even subconsciously. What shields them from facing the contradictions that exist in every religious tradition, including their own, it's just plain old ignorance. Now, in the end, the reality is all folks following any particular religious path are following a path of their own making. But why not? Should we not be the makers of our own destinies? Shouldn't we embrace the undeniable reality that we are each unique individuals with varying needs and motivations? And given that, doesn't it only make sense that each individual is likely to require a unique and individual path in understanding their own spirituality? Ultimately, it seems to me that life is too short and too valuable to spend it living under the constraints of some other person's dogma. Life is too short and too valuable to spend it living under the constraints of other people's dogma. Particularly when the modern church continues to perpetuate belief systems that make little to no sense when placed next to modern advances in science and history and philosophy and literary criticism and, yes, even theology. Many still insist on an adherence to a belief in the virgin birth when literary criticism and science suggest otherwise. From the Trinity to the divinity of Jesus, the concept of hell, the modern church dogmatically holds on to beliefs that require blind faith rather than the engagement of our intellect and the new realities of the world which unfold before us every day, every hour, every minute. As Bishop Spong has said, Christians must now come to understand that God does not inhabit creeds or theological doctrines shaped with human words. Now, that is not to say that we should ignore the past and the dogma that it brings with it. As we move forward on our own spiritual journeys, it's important to recognize and even celebrate those who contributed in bringing us to where we are. As the saying goes, they are the giants upon whose shoulders we stand. Equally, though, honoring them does not mean we should stay anchored in the past. Instead, much like they did to arrive at their own spiritual outlook, we must journey forward, reassessing our religious beliefs based on the new information and new realities. Psychotherapist and former monk Thomas More reminds us that part of the function of our religion is to get us beyond ourselves and our egos. So we all need various forms of transcendence. That's the whole thrust of Buddhism. Christianity is about transcending a narcissistic way of life through love of one's neighbor. And the Sufi poets suggest finding divinity wherever you turn. That is why we cannot remain where our spiritual ancestors were. Divinity is wherever you turn, and this world is constantly changing at an ever more dynamic rate. We need religious outlooks that take that reality seriously. We need religious outlooks that are equally dynamic and flexible and capable of handling new information in short order. The reality is that when it comes to religion and the beliefs that they carry along with them, sorting out which one is right is nothing more than an exercise in pure futility. The reality is that we are too far removed from the origins of most religions to establish with any degree of certainty what the founders really meant. As one world religions professor from Santa Monica College put it, most established religions, in fact, are based on shaky sources. Divine relations seem to indulge the very annoying habit of popping up in semi-literate corners of the world at a point in human history long before accurate modern means of recording information were invented. What results then is an endless chain of revolutions being told and retold over decades until somebody finally writes them down. Clearly, this is a process that leaves much room for error. He also goes on to say, the uncertainty is a gift. The uncertainty is a gift that most members of organized religions actually cherish, whether they know it or not. The fact that their prophets are long dead and little information is known about them makes it easier for followers to project their own ideas, values, and expectations onto their favorite authority figure, something that many believe gives more legitimacy to an ideology. And this allows people to create their own religion within a respected, established tradition while keeping the appearance of following the official version. The reality is, it's an exciting time to be seeking an understanding of God. It's an exciting time to be considering what your relationship to, toward, and with this thing we call God is. We live in a time when information is available to us in a way and with an immediacy that it never has been before. We can quickly and easily expose ourselves to a multitude of theological perspectives from religions all over the world and throughout history. Scientific discoveries are revealing realities of the universe that we could have never previously imagined. We are learning more and more about how connected all of creation is, how much we impact others and our environment and every action we take, how fragile and surprisingly resilient life is. Technological advances and archaeology are helping us peel back the many layers of our religious stories in ways that push us to new understandings of our religious ancestors. As Nietzsche puts it, the sage does not acknowledge custom or tradition, but only new questions from life and new answers. You see, while it is not necessarily true that newer is always better, it is certainly true that any theory, religion, or philosophy that was born in a pre-scientific age can only be improved upon today. Not forgotten, but improved upon. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but you do move past those things that are no longer helpful or relevant in a modern age. And likewise, we would be foolish to ignore sources of spiritual wisdom that don't come from our own traditions. It's actually incredibly valuable to hold up your own beliefs to the light of other traditions. After all, testing our spiritual values against spiritual values of other belief systems will yield one of two things. On the one hand, we might find out that the other spiritual values are not as helpful to us as what we already believe. And in my book, that's a win, since it reinforces our understanding that we are on the right path for our own spiritual growth. And not only that, but when we talk to other folks about our beliefs and their beliefs, particularly when their beliefs are different than our own, our personal perspective and understanding of them will be stronger because we have held them up to the light and examined them closely. Then, on the other hand, if in holding up our beliefs to the light of other traditions, we discover that some of our beliefs are not as helpful as we once thought they were, and that there are other beliefs that are more helpful for us on our spiritual journeys, well, I'd say that's a win as well. Rather than seeing it as belittling and demeaning of our faith tradition, well, we need to learn to see it as a chance to correct our missteps and move on to a spiritual path that's healthier for us. Unexamined belief systems are not a present to preserve, but rather they are somewhat of a trap from which we must free ourselves. Or as Nietzsche puts it, I am a man who wishes nothing more than daily to lose some reassuring belief, who seeks and finds his happiness in this daily greater liberation of the mind. As we cobble together the religious outlooks that best fit us, as we purposefully create our own religions, let's always keep an eye on the evidence. The effectiveness of belief should not be measured by the complexity of a theological argument, nor should it be measured by how loudly its adherents shout down everyone else. It should be measured in action. It should be measured in action because, you see, values are only as good as the results that they produce. So, let us be guided by that golden thread that runs through most religions: love, empathy, grace, and equality. Let us adopt the things that are good and nurturing and encouraging for us from any place that we find them. And let us build our own spiritual paths and hopes of not only informing our spiritual lives, but in the process, helping make the world a better place for everyone. Are there those who would like to respond to today's message, thoughts or questions?
Hi, I'm really glad to be back. Sorry, I was late. This is just freaking awesome to have Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, Confucianism, Baha'i Faith, Nietzsche. I mean, wow. I'm amazed. Again. I was wondering... Also, I just read that these are recorded, so I didn't have to be frantically taking notes. But you referenced a Santa Monica professor.
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
Starts with a B, and I'm blanking on it right now.
All right, you can tell me.
I can get it to you, though.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. This is wonderful. And I still can't believe this place is not packed to the gills with students and people. And I guess part of it is that it's early, but yeah, I can't believe it.
Vance.
I am Vance, and I agree with what she said, although I think I was later than you were. Your talk inspired two thoughts in my mind, Mark, but I'm only going to share one of them in the interest of time. And that is, I had a conversation recently with an interesting out-of-the-box theologian that I'm getting to know. And please help me, because he quoted something from the Bible where Jesus said, "My yoke is
light, my yoke is easy." Yeah, I see.
That's the problem. I think what he said was, "My yoke is my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Correct.
And where this gentleman took that last two words, my burden is light, was to say that maybe what Jesus was saying was, as you said, Mark, hold everything up to the light and look at it carefully and examine it.
Yeah.
Jesus' burden to us was to think and to look and to explore.
Nice thought. Thank you for that comment. I agree.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Jim. Two things. You reminded me of some preachers that I have seen growing up in my past that made their whole careers based on one particular disciple. I remember one in particular that his whole career was based on the writings of Paul. Very narrow. The second thing is, I think you're one of the best Unitarian Universalist ministers around.
I've been accused of that before. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark. I'm Mark. I want to thank you for your message. I'm curious, do you feel that people come to their faith in this religion by choice?
I would say a low percentage come by choice. Most come by environment and the society they're born into. The question is, are we able to help them move past just buying into it by rote and instead engage in it, hold it up to the light, and make choices? I mean, I definitely came to Christianity because I was born into a conservative Christian household. And for me, even though I just gave a message on creating your own religion, Christianity for me, because of my experience, it's always at the root of what I believe. I might believe it a little differently than what you see on TV, but I think that that's what we have to encourage people to do. It's like not necessarily let go of the roots of their history that they were born in, because that can be very shaking. Our religious beliefs are a very large part of our identity, and you don't want to ruin a person's identity. That actually can cause so many issues. But to encourage them to hold it up to the light and to consider the places that other things could influence it and where they might want to go. Thanks. Elsie.
Thank you for your message. I appreciate it a lot, but part of it is to look at what's useful to you, what actually helps you make decisions about what you do, because that's a barometer for me if this particular idea or this belief has utility in my life in terms of how I behave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's great value in that, so thank you for that.
Completely agree, yeah. Are there any others? David.
I also appreciate your message, and I think I'm going to go home and write a sign and put in my yard that says, "I'm a heretic and proud of it."
I like it.
Thank you, Jesus.